Today's episode features a lot of phrases and terminology that not everybody may be familiar with, so before we get started on the story, we are going to go over some of these terms first. Gender dysphoria refers to clinically significant distress caused when a person's assigned birth gender is not the same as the one with which they identify. Transgender is an umbrella term for people whose gender identity and/or expression is different from cultural expectations based on the sex they were assigned at birth. Being transgender does not imply any specific sexual orientation. Therefore, transgender people may identify as straight, gay, lesbian, bisexual, etc. Cisgender is a term used to describe a person whose gender identity aligns with those typically associated with the sex assigned to them at birth. Gender identity is one's innermost concept of self as male, female, a blend of both, or neither, how individuals perceive themselves and what they call themselves. One's gender identity can be the same or different from their sex assigned at birth. Gender transition is a process some transgender people undergo to match their gender identity more closely with their outward appearance. This can include changing clothes, names, or pronouns to fit their gender identity, and can also include healthcare needs such as hormones and surgical procedures. Non-binary is an adjective describing a person who does not identify exclusively as a man or a woman. Non-binary people may identify as being both male or female, somewhere in between, or falling completely outside of these categories. Hi guys, welcome back to Food for Thought. It's your host, Lorene Horan. Today's episode, we have my good friend Andy with me. Say hi, Andy.
Hello, how are you?
So, Andy is here today to talk about transitioning, and I'm super excited that you're here. Thank you, first of all, for just being willing to come on and have, like, a candid conversation and, you know, give people the info they need.
Absolutely. I'm always here to help. I got you, buddy.
Thanks, man. Okay, so do you want to start by just, like, telling everybody a little bit about yourself and the pronouns that you like to use?
Sure. So, I was born a baby.
Wow.
No, my name's Andy. My pronouns are he, they. I am trans non-binary. Honestly, just call me what you like as long as you call me by my name. I'm cool with that.
Totally fair. So first, I guess we should talk about your childhood. Where did you grow up?
So I'm currently in Grand Rapids right now, but I'm from Traverse City, Michigan, which is about 2 hours north of here. I've been there my whole life. I lived in New York for about a year when I graduated high school, but that wasn't a really good time in my life. So then I moved back and decided to relocate to Grand Rapids. So
do you recall how old you were when you were first experiencing the first symptoms of, like, gender dysphoria?
Really, I grew up with, like, six boys. They weren't my siblings or nothing, but they were my neighbors, and they babysit me and whatnot. Their mom would. Because they wouldn't babysit me. Are you kidding me? They were like 10.
Yeah.
We were all really young. So I just remember, you know, hanging out with them all the time and not knowing the difference between gender and whatnot.
Okay, that's fair.
That's I don't really have, like, a specific thing because I never really noticed a difference until, like, puberty hit.
Okay. So then what was puberty like for you?
It was really weird because I remember, you know, just, like, the grade previous, I would be at my buddy's house. You know, I'd spend the night at his house. And growing up as a female, after once, you know, seventh grade hit, or, like, you know, sixth grade hit, because that was middle school for us up in Traverse City. Once that hit, it was like, no, all right, you can't really go have sleepovers with the guys. You know, things are starting to turn into just really basically where the world's revolving around sex now.
Right.
So that's when I was like, wait, but, like, I'm like, not a girl. Like, dude, I'm one of the guys.
Yeah.
They don't see me any different.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So how old were you when you started kind of getting to a point where you felt like you needed to accept yourself as being trans-binary enough to a point where you wanted to come out and begin transitioning?
Growing up in Traverse City, I didn't really have a lot of, like, queer folk around me. I came out as like queer, like when I was a freshman or sophomore in high school. And he was like one of the few in my small high school that was, openly LGBT. But it wasn't really till after high school, so when I was just turned 18 and whatnot, that I really started to vocalize my transition, like, because I didn't realize there was a word for it until I was much, much older than I thought it would be.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I just right out of high school, I was like, this is definitely not me. Even though in high school I did, switch around my names because I didn't like my birth name at the time, so I switched it to something more, familiar for both men and women. So like Alex, I could be for either gender, or like Peyton can be for either gender. So I chose a name, and I had all my teachers call me that, and I did that for a while. And that was just it wasn't my thing. Something wasn't feeling right. But really, most of the time, it was just me. After high school, really coming to terms with it.
That's fair. And were you in New York during that time?
So I was in Traverse City at the
Okay.
time, and I was working with a small business at the time, and I was traveling a lot with them, so I was viewing a lot of different other cultures. So like some days I would be out in Tennessee, or I'd be out in California, or Georgia or somewhere, because I was always traveling with them. And then I ended up moving to New York. That was just because I was too nervous about coming out at home, so I ended up living with a friend out there.
Yeah, I was curious if that had anything to do with that decision. Very interesting. So, when did you kind of begin this formal process of transitioning, and what all have you done in that process?
Well, transitioning is different for everybody. I myself am female to male. And my goals were to have top surgery and, start testosterone. Depending on who you are, the transition doesn't really necessarily mean that they need to have testosterone or, HRT, hormone replacement therapy, or they need to have any sort of surgery as such. But for myself, I wanted the top surgery and to be on testosterone.
And you've accomplished both of those things.
Correct. I'm 2 years, almost 2 years on testosterone, and I had my top surgery 6 months ago.
And so let's talk about testosterone for a moment. How has, like, what happens to your body specifically? Like, what were like the most noticeable, and were there any changes that occurred that were just like kind of hard to deal with initially?
They weren't hard to deal with. The changes were not hard to deal with,
Okay.
but they were definitely exciting. They were exciting. They were really
Oh,
exciting because
okay.
I
Yeah.
knew it was happening.
Yeah, that
I
totally
knew it
makes
was going to
sense.
happen. I literally was I was just with my therapist this morning, and I was talking to him. I love this man. He's great. I was talking to him this morning, and he's like, "All right, well, what are you feeling today? What are you noticing?" And I'm like, "I just sweat a lot. I sweat a lot." And I'm like,
Sweat
"It's testosterone." And he goes,
a lot.
"It's the testosterone." But really, a lot of my changes that I noticed, like right away, were my voice dropping. It sounds kind of weird right now. It's just because it fluctuates so much, and my voice cracks constantly. Normally, it stops like progressing after like 2 years. And, like, I'm really glad with how my voice sounds. Tons of body hair and clit growth. So like,
Yeah, I was gonna ask about that. So yeah, let's talk about that, how
yeah.
testosterone affects your genitals on a
Yeah,
physical.
so sorry.
It's okay, my
I got
dogs.
distracted by the dog. I wasn't thinking.
They are like
I
that.
forgot we were
No,
recording for a second. I was like, "Huh,
no, I
puppy."
know, they are
It's funny.
mesmerizing.
So let me talk to you about it. So the clitoris.
My fucking God.
No, so I'm sorry.
You're
No,
good.
my so I didn't really notice it much in the first month or a couple months, but then really I started noticing that my clit started growing like a lot larger and to make it look like a penis.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, this is dope. I have a larger penis than most men already. Woo.
Really?
No.
Oh,
No.
I felt like the meme of the lady with all the math floating around her head. I was like,
No, but like I felt so confident in my skin because I was like, hell yes. I was
Yes,
like,
I love
my
that for
cock is
you.
bigger than everybody else's now. Like, get
I love
fucked. And I was like, in reality, it's like not even, it's a fucking gland.
Hey, either way.
But no, that's just some of the changes. Let's see, hair, voice, clit growth. I can see the stimulation like during sex is a little more intense
Is it?
than what I remember it to be when I
Interesting.
was pre-transition. But then again, I may just be with more experienced partners.
How does it affect like your ovaries and things like that? And do
Oh,
you menstruate
Dow,
still?
that's such a good question. I love this because I never really had periods. Like, I
Okay.
didn't get my periods until I was a freshman in high school.
Okay, that's a little late, a little bit of a late
Yeah, my
bloomer.
whole family, late bloomers.
Interesting.
And I was like, I wasn't a freshman until in high school to get my period. And I would hardly even get it, maybe once every other month. And my doctor's like, yeah, you're fine and you're perfectly healthy. But when I started testosterone, my period stopped right away. And it's different for everybody else, but once I started testosterone, my period stopped like completely. Sometimes if I'm like super stressed or I like miss a dosage because I do order it online and it ships to me. That's just how my insurance works. It was late by 1 week, and it happened would have been like the time that I was supposed to have my period. So I started spotting a little bit, but
I
that's
see.
literally it. It hardly ever happens.
Interesting. So I'm assuming that you're going to get to a point where, like, it's not possible to carry children, or will it be?
You know, I'm not 100% sure because I've never wanted children to begin with, so I never really looked in that aspect. But
That's
I
totally
do
valid.
believe if you stop testosterone, there is a chance that you can carry a child to term as long as you have the ovaries and, you know, and the uterus and your ovaries. I was talking to my doctor because they made me get a pap smear. I was like, why do I need to get a pap smear? I'm literally a man. But then again, I understand because, you know, I have one. They're like, yeah,
Yeah, precisely.
you have a vagina, you have a uterus. We still need to check it just in case. So I'm like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what they were saying, like it can still happen, but there's not going to when you're on testosterone.
Okay, so is there anything that happens physically to the anatomy, like the tissue of your ovaries and your uterus when you continue testosterone, or does it kind of just it stays the same and just becomes like defunct?
I'm not 100% sure how that works, like on
Have
the
to look
inside
into that one.
with my uterus and whatnot. But that's a super interesting question because I didn't even think about that because I'm like, okay, so like I get that my uterine wall would be shedding during menstruation, like so now that it's you know stopped and you know like testosterone blocking it, is that why blood's still not coming out?
Right.
So that's it. That's a very valid question.
Yeah, no, it's like I just feel like there's always these kinds of questions. So my understanding of male and female anatomy is that the labia is the equivalent to the scrotum, like the tissues are constructed of the same thing.
Yeah.
Have you noticed any difference in your labia as well?
I don't think so, but I was literally just like tempted to like pull down my pants all of a sudden and just like look. I don't know why, but I had this sudden urge to be like,
Well,
let's
let's
look.
find
No.
out. See, this is why we need to start filming Food for Thought because it would just be so much more
Stop.
informative.
Get some kind of dinner first. Oh
I can do that.
my God. No. No, I literally haven't thought about it. So like when I go home tonight, I'll be like, Maureen, I'm taking a shower right now. But like, look at my
We'll edit it
labia.
in later.
We'll fix
I'll be like,
it in post.
cannot.
No, that's a really interesting question. I was so ready for this podcast. I was like, what are these questions you're gonna
Dude,
ask?
it's.
I'm like, what are these questions? And I'm like, this is great, because even I didn't think about that.
Yeah, there's definitely been a lot more that I've just kind of like rolled off my head aside from what we like kind of went
Oh,
over
absolutely.
earlier.
Absolutely.
So, I guess what is something that you would say to somebody who is considering getting top surgery or starting HRT, but hasn't quite pulled the trigger, maybe because they're scared of what the people around them will think?
Sure. So medically, doctors don't normally will not give you top surgery until you've been on a year of HRT. Now, this is specifically for male to female Wow, from female to male, what genitals do I have? Fuck. This is specifically for female to males. I don't really know too much about male to female transitions. I mean, I do have other transgender friends, but this is from my perspective.
Well, I'm sure this is definitely more of a thorough conversation than a lot of people just casually have on a, what is it, a Monday?
Yeah, no, I'm so open about it. I'm so open. Can you repeat the question for me so I can answer
Yes.
this to the fullest of
Yeah,
my
for sure.
abilities?
I was asking, what would you say to somebody who wants to start one of those processes of transitioning but is just scared because of what the people around them might think or their family?
Right, absolutely. I would agree with the doctors because, like I said earlier, to give you that little bit of background, I would agree, like, wait a little while for that HRT to kick in because your hormones do change. When I first started HRT, I was really more like 90-10. I was really into women 90% and then into men 10% of the time. And now it's like 60-40. Like I'm into men a lot more than I used
Really?
to be.
That's very interesting.
The more than I used to be. So I definitely get a little while to have your body relax and get used to the
Yeah.
HRT before you
Yeah.
realize that. Thankfully, I still wanted the top surgery. I mean, I had really nice tits. I'm not gonna lie. Whenever somebody saw me like in a bra or like saw me change in the locker room, I hardly ever wore bras, so growing up, they were like, "Holy crap, Andrew has tits!" I'd be like, "I don't know," but like I just hit them so well.
Yeah.
And my school had a uniform too, so
Yeah.
it was the epitome of unisex. So no one, you couldn't express yourself in any way like that. You couldn't even dye your hair. So I just like people were surprised about it. So I never really like cared about top surgery because no one ever was like, haha, boobs. Nobody ever like put out to me because I also gave off the vibe of like, hey, don't fuck with me.
Right.
Like, I'm
Definitely.
kick your ass.
Yeah. For sure. after you started testosterone, did having your breasts trigger dysphoria more than it might have normally?
It didn't trigger it too much.
No.
I did notice like the hair growth, so I had like one singular nipple hair, and I was like, okay, I get it, more hair, but like, can we get another strand on like the other tip on the other nip,
Yeah.
on the other nipple, like make
Yeah.
it even,
Yeah,
like
even it out a little bit.
even out, just one random strand? Why?
Yeah.
Getting pissed off.
It's like growing a garden.
I'm just like, bitch, just grow it on one. If you're gonna do one side, do the other.
Please, for the love of God. So, going back to what you said about how you went from being like 90-10, like mostly liking women and then kind of liking men to being more of like a 60-40 now. Let's talk about your dating life. So I'm assuming you will date people of any gender.
Yeah, I love who I love. I'm into a lot of people. I specifically like English teachers.
That's funny.
Yes,
So you just like, easy to talk to, intellectual.
and someone who could bully me with words. I love that.
Okay, interesting. Bit of a sadist, notice.
Stop. Ouch. Getting
That's so
called
funny.
out.
So what is dating like? Is it tough? And do you often feel objectified or fetishized by people that you meet?
Well, pre-transition, I felt like I could steal anybody's girlfriend, honestly. I still feel like I could, but also I'd have to go into that conversation like saying, hey, I still have a vagina. Like, here's the tea.
Here's the
Yeah,
tea.
I still have the vagina. My
Here's the
vagina.
tea. I'm on tea.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's so fucking funny because I say it all the time. I'm like,
That's
why haven't
funny.
I said that? You beat me to it. That's hilarious.
You're funny.
It's now with my transition, I feel like I can pass, I mean, I do pass wonderfully. I have
I would agree with
even
that.
since before testosterone, I passed great. It was just my voice that would always turn me off. They'd be like, oh, hey, man. And then I'd speak. They'd be like,
The illusion
oh,
is shattered.
exactly. So when I'm talking to like, say like I'm talking to a girl, they're like, yeah, I'm like, hi. Yeah, I always introduce myself as Andy to girls and Andrew to guys.
Interesting.
Because Andrew's more masculine and Andy is like, it seems like more of like a binary name. So that way they know
Yeah, I
I'm sometimes
definitely know
feminine.
some girls named Andy too, so.
Yeah. So like with guys, I feel like they're just looking to get their dick wet. So I'm like,
You're right, though.
like that's fine. That's fine. But I don't have a dick. But like, I'll peg you. Like I have a strap-on. Like, because a lot of this, it's literally all about sex right now. Like, we're in our fucking 20s. I don't want to settle down. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I travel too much. I don't want to settle down. And when it comes to women, I'm like, yeah, hey, I'm indie. I have a vagina. So, and they go, good, okay, cool. And I was like, I also have a strap-on. It's the best of both worlds. So I like women more, which is great because they like me more.
That's fair.
But really, it can be whomever. Like, it doesn't matter. As long as we click, as long as we vibe, I'm just into it.
That's fair.
And if we vibe, that means success is going to be great. So.
Yes, that's definitely very true. Person. So have you ever faced discrimination within the LGBTQ community? People making you feel like, you know, you need to pick a gender, or people who make you feel like, you know, considering yourself trans and non-binary, that you should or shouldn't be doing XYZ?
I never felt like that I had anybody pressuring me to choose a gender, you know, like, other than my parents. They were always like, oh, well, you're a girl. I'm like, no. But the reason why I don't have any of those issues is because I don't allow people like that in my life. So if they're, like, talking shit to somebody else or about myself behind my back, I'll confront them and be like, that's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
So I just don't allow that in my life. And, you know, I understand, like, people can grow and learn and whatnot, but that's a lot of that. So I know other people have felt that way. Sometimes I don't feel, like, queer enough because I pass really well. So sometimes I'm like, am I even queer enough to be here right now?
I kind of get what you mean.
Like, can I go to this?
Because a lot of people are, like, very in the middle. Like, they're very obviously non-binary. You know right. what I mean?
And I look very masculine nowadays.
Yep.
And now that I've been working on consistently, you can definitely tell as well. Because, like, instead of being just a scrawny kid, I am now, like, a muscular twink.
A muscular twink. I love that.
But I'm not that hairy, so I'm not, like, an otter. So.
Yeah. Otter, they have all these names. I'm going to have to do some Googling about the terms of gay porn.
All the gay terms.
I love that.
It's so funny.
I know what a bear is.
I know.
I know what a bear
is. I love all these terms. I don't like labels, but, like, some of these terms are just hilarious.
I know what frauding is. People listening to this are gonna be like, FROTT. Oh!
I guess I should have went on my private browser.
Yeah, just a heads up. Nothing about this podcast is ever safe for work.
I was going to say, I'm going to listen to this while I'm jogging at working out.
Mm-hmm. I love it. What else were we going to... So, crap. I had a question. Now I can't remember. This is why I write everything down. Because I'll forget. I'm trying to think. Is there anything that we haven't gone over yet that you want to touch? Oh, we were talking about do's and don'ts. Like, so if you're the kind of person who you don't really have very many people in your personal life who are trans or non-binary, it might be intimidating to you to, you know, be like, what do I do if I ever get into conversation with somebody who, you know, I don't know the terms to use. I don't know all the right and wrong things that I should and shouldn't say. So let's talk a little bit about that. So let's talk about some of the don'ts. What are some things that people should never say or ask or whatever a trans or non-binary individual?
Don't ask my birth name, which should be a given. But I understand where it can come from. Some people, like, I'll nonchalantly be like, oh yeah, my name, like, I wasn't born with the name Andrew, like, nonchalantly, they're like, not realizing that I have transitioned. They're like, oh yeah, what is it? I'm like, no. And just shut it down. Yeah, but don't ask your dead name, even if you do know that your friend, your partner, or has transitioned. It'll come out in time, if anything, mostly because you have to fill out legal forms.
Just real quick, do you want to define what a dead name is?
Oh, excuse me.
Bless you.
Yes, a dead name is the name that I was given at birth, and I haven't used, and I haven't used in years. So my name is Andrew White. My last name is White, as in the color. And growing up, it was something white. attachment. Just I just don't share it with people. It's still on my my license and whatnot because I haven't been able to go to court to change it yet. It's also kind of expensive.
Yeah. Okay, so I would say that that's another move that you would want to make in your transition is having all of the legal documentation to
You're absolutely your right. When you asked earlier, I was like, I just wanted top surgery, testosterone. I would like to change my name. Absolutely. And, I haven't thought about it because I never used my
Well, and how name. Long have I known you? Since June?
Yeah. Because I moved into these apartments and then you rolled up and then I was like, what's up, queen?
Because Ghost Skate Day was the end of June, and I knew you before that.
Yeah.
Because I met Savannah there, and we both knew you.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, okay.
Oh my gosh. It's
been so long. But
yeah,
I met Andy before he had top surgery. We met through skateboarding. Andy is a...
Did you see my tits beforehand? Because I was always like...
Not all the way. But if you have a photo...
I was always... Like, it's so warm. I hated fucking bras.
Bro,
so
I'd wear the like literal same.
So way. I'd wear my binder skateboarding, and then sometimes I just, whatever.
Yeah. No, so I met Andy through skateboarding. Andy is an amazing fucking skateboarder, but I actually met him before he had the top surgery. So it was really cool. Like, I was just, like, happy for him, you know, like all of us were.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, when, you know, he finally... got the surgery, and then he would come and see us at the park when he couldn't, you know, quite skate
yet.
But we were just so stoked to see you and see your, like, not convex chest and, you know.
Yeah, dude, like, it was so surreal. Like, I couldn't even care that I couldn't skateboard for a couple weeks.
Well, I remember the first time I saw you skateboarding without any shirt on at all, and I was like, yes, you know, because I know that you were, like, waiting for those moments, you know, so I was celebrating with you. I was like,
yeah, having you guys behind me just cheering me on. I was like, I couldn't do too much because I was still just done with surgery. I was like, just 6 weeks. I had just hit 6 weeks.
Yeah, like, Andy's honestly the reason that I made all the friends that I did, because Andy and I met through Instagram, and they had started something called QQ Skate, which is Queens and Queers.
Queens and Queers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that actually brought a huge gang of us together. We had multiple events over the summer. I have made so many awesome friends over the summer thanks to it. And, like, literally, it wouldn't be anything if I hadn't even met you. I would not have gotten as into skating as I did.
I feel that.
Actually, the first time that I ever truly enjoyed skating at a park, I was with you.
Dude, I'm so glad. Yeah, you were definitely nervous beforehand, and now you're just like not.
Do shit.
Now you're not wearing any pads or shit, and I'm like, bro, okay, chill. Well,
first of all, I should be wearing pads.
I should too.
We all should be, you know. But instead, we're just out here breaking bones and shit.
I've never broken a bone. Knock on wood.
Knock on cheap wood.
Knock on cheap wood.
I love it. Okay, so is there anything else that you want to cover before?
Oh, we still have to, we totally went on a tangent. We have to finish the don'ts and
don'ts. Oh my God, yeah.
The don'ts, don't ask about my genitalia. I, however, am very open and be like, yeah, fuck you, I have a vagina. What are you going to do about it? My cock is still bigger than yours. Like I said earlier, like joking.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Listen, I don't know how it works yet, okay?
Listen here, Buster. Sorry. Those are really the only don'ts I could think about. Do use my pronouns.
Oh, and that's another thing is I think sometimes people are like scared to ask pronouns. Don't be scared to ask pronouns.
Yeah, don't be scared to ask pronouns. Pronouns are like on everyone's like social media nowadays,
yeah.
And a lot of straight folk are now starting to use them, so that way they try to make it feel less awkward for those who use different pronouns than they may have been, quote unquote, born with.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think that there are still some people who are straight, and because they're kind of operating with some like kind of like transphobic, you know, tendencies without knowing, I think that maybe they'd be like, well, I would be offended if someone came up to me and asked me what are my pronouns, because I'm obviously a woman or I'm obviously a man.
Like, girl, that's just on their own insecurity.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, that's why I'm saying, like, don't be afraid to go up and be like, hey, do you mind if I ask what your pronouns are?
you know? Exactly.
And someone's going to be like, oh, yeah.
So do ask, do use them. And if you mess up, just, you know, fix it right away. Be like, oh, she, he is doing this. Just, like, don't dwell on it.
Don't dwell on it. Fix it and then just keep moving on. Because that's all you can do. And that's all that matters is that you do that. You address it and you move on.
Do your research. If your friend is transgender, whether they are male to female or female to male, do some research on it. Just, like, ask some questions online. Be like, hey, my friend's this. You know, I really want to be supportive for them, and I'm not yet comfortable asking questions for them. And just look online. Just, like, read up on it. Like, there's no shame in that. And, like, surround yourself with people who accept you and whatnot. I grew up in a religious family and whatnot, and I still am religious. And I've been able to find people in my religion. I'm a Christian man. I have been able to find other queer Christians.
Right.
So, like, you find your community, whether, you know, if you feel like, whether if you're, you know, Jewish or whatever, like, you can still find people like that, because there are communities like that who do accept
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Which Christianity is a whole new topic.
Yeah, we should definitely get into that at one point. I should definitely do an episode about, like, being queer and also being religious.
Absolutely.
Okay, so finding your community, doing research.
Yes.
Things like that.
Pronouns, use them. If you wouldn't ask your mom that question, I wouldn't really ask you.
Yeah.
You know, like, if it was something, like, about genitalia or about your sex life or, like, are you a top or bottom?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I personally am very open about that stuff.
But it's just not someone that you – it's not something that you ask, like, off the bat. Like, those are answers that you'll get once you get to know somebody. You know what I mean?
And sometimes I forget I'm fucking trans. Because, like, I'll be talking to somebody at work, and I'll be like, oh, my God, dude, periods were the worst. They think I'm joking. And I'm like, no, I suck periods.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can imagine that sometimes people might be – thrown off, especially if they've only met you very recently.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, a lot of the people I've met recently, I feel like some of them actually felt, like, betrayed when they found out that I was transgender.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so they stopped talking to me. They stopped talking to me for a while, and we all started talking again. It was also because, like, they all had their own stuff going on. I had my own stuff going on. But then we all just linked back up together eventually and started just hanging out again. So it was super weird.
It was weird.
It was really weird. I was, like, talking to my therapist about it. Which, don't be afraid to go to therapy. Like, be vocal about it.
I think everybody needs therapy. That's definitely something that everybody, the last few guests that I've had on here, everybody talks about therapy at some point and is like, go to therapy.
Just go. Like, even if you don't think you have problems, it's always good to talk to somebody.
Because, first of all, like, you do have problems. I'm not trying to be a bitch, but, like, literally everybody has problems. Nobody has all the answers on how to navigate the world around them and every single relationship and interaction that they have.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Nobody is just born knowing all of the right things and the right answers. There's always a good reason to go to therapy, if not just for some self-care and self-reflection. Like, you know, I feel stagnant in life. How can I grow, be a better person?
Yeah, there's so much a self-help book can do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fuck self-help books. Like, but also, like, they're great. But also, you can't have...
Self-help is maintenance in between going to therapy.
Yes, bitch.
You know, like, therapy is you... Because self-help is different for everybody.
This
self-care
is another
is
fucking episode.
Yeah, you're right.
I get so, like, worked up. I'm like... Because I was forced to do therapy when I was younger, and I was like, this is bullshit. And I went myself, and then... Okay, listen. No. Do's and don'ts. Those are my do's and don'ts.
Okay. But would it be fair to say that you think that therapy has been an extremely beneficial thing as far as your transition goes?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
it's been very beneficial. The fact that what most surgeons do require you to have a little bit of therapy behind you.
Because that could be another thing, is that someone could be considering, like, I really want to do this, or I really, you know, want to get top surgery one day, but maybe they're not even going to therapy yet. It's like,
find a therapist.
You should be going to therapy first.
Find a mentor.
Yes.
Growing up in Traverse City, I didn't really have a lot of, like, queer, well, I should say, transgender folk around me to help me out. So I went, my friend stepdad, he's trans. And I was like, well, I really like related to him and would talk to him sometimes. So like, I found myself a little bit of a mentor during that time. And then I found my therapist and then just been moving forward.
Well, and if, you know, and I think that the part about finding a mentor, finding someone to look up to is really important. And if there's nobody in your life who is older than you and is also trans or can just relate to what you're going through, places like Reddit, like any online community that's queer friendly, is a potential place where you could meet somebody who could kind of be that person for you.
You're absolutely right. I went to Reddit because I was like, how long until I can skateboard after top surgery? Because my doctor's like, six weeks. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to talk to Reddit. Like, what's the tea, you guys? Like, how long until I can skate? And they were like, well, really? Once I got my bandages off for like 4 weeks, I was like, bet.
Yeah, you're funny. I remember when you first were out there, you were skating, and we were all just like watching. Like, we're like,
oh my god, everybody was so nervous.
Seriously, though.
My partner at the time was just like, why are you doing this?
I don't know what we thought. Let's like, we thought you were going to fall on your chest or something. Like, that literally never happened.
No, you fall on your ass.
Exactly, but still, we were just like, you better be fucking careful.
Yeah, as soon as I got my tubes taken out from the side, I was like, let's go skate. My friends and my partner at the time were like, no!
No! I know, dude. It's so funny. So, yeah. So, I guess real quick before we start to wrap it up, what was it like recovering? What was the recovery process like? And are your scars still exceptionally visible? Will they always be visible? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
If you don't mind.
Absolutely. Surgery was super quick. I don't remember any of it because I was knocked out the whole time. As soon as I woke up from it, I was flirting with the nurse.
Of course you were.
Because, like, I'm not a fuckboy, but apparently, like, everything I say sounds very flirtatious. So I was like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. I was literally flirting with you. I was literally talking about her kids, and I was like, how good she looked. I was like, damn, you look great.
That's so funny.
You look great. And anyway, so I remember waking up and then having to stay the night at the hospital because I was still groggy from the anesthesia. I'm naturally a redhead, and it is known that redheads often need more anesthesia, and the anesthesia stays longer in the body.
Oh, interesting.
It's super strange, but I read a lot into it. And even doctors have been like, yeah, it's super strange. It's just a phenomenon.
It's just a thing.
I'm just so quirky.
Like, what are we, a doctor?
I'm not a professional. But I ended up staying a little bit longer, and then the anesthesia stayed in my system for up to a week. So I literally just was at home sleeping nonstop. My mom drove down to Grand Rapids and hung out with me for a week. She brought an air mattress into my room, and we basically had a huge slumber party in my house for a week. I was like, Mom, I really want to like still make my own breakfast. She goes, no, dude, you really need to just lay down and whatnot. Then once my mom left, my tubes came out, and I really started doing everything by myself. And 6 weeks, I was able to take off all the bandages and all that jazz, and then I got the bolsters taken off, which are like a giant bandage around your nipples, all the stitches taken out and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been about 6 months since I've had my surgery. My scars are, definitely still visible. I'm a very pale person, so, like, you can see that they're very pink, but I've been using, like, the scar away stuff to help, you know, mask it a little bit and help it to, you know, go away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I'm not ashamed of them or anything.
Right.
They're just not equal, so, like, really
poor. I got you. Are a lot of them usually more equal?
I don't really know. It just depends on it. I was also weird because I had a mole on my chest, and they called it precancer. So I literally had, so some of my scarring looks a little wonky too, because I had moles around my chest where the other scars are. So it just looks a little weird because of that. So there's just like a little more scars than normal because like they have like the straight scar around it. It says I had a double incision surgery rather than the nipple one. So the double incision, so where I'm cut underneath, not around the nipple.
I see.
So there's several different types of top surgery.
Oh, okay. I did not realize.
Yeah, I didn't even think about talking about it because everybody I knew was like, dude, the double incision. I mean, you see the scars last longer, but like it's much more safer and the results are a lot better.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So I have the doubles the scars are, yeah, they're visible, but you can't see too much. I mean, they are equal, but like some of them, they just look a little wonky at some spots. Because it just depends on how I put the healing cream on, really,
mm-hmm.
if it is longer or not.
And does that, like, do they hurt at all still?
No, not really. No. I still don't have I don't have all the feeling in my chest, but I can feel it. And ever since I've been working out a lot, I've noticing the, I can notice a difference in the feeling in it. Because, like, after chest day, like, it didn't hurt when I first started, and now it's starting to hurt.
Oh, interesting.
So, I can feel it getting back.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So, are you going to be on tea forever then? Or how does that work? Do you eventually stop taking the tea? Because it's like, well, because testosterone is produced in a male's body naturally, is in their scrotum, right?
I have no idea.
Or is it produced in
other
parts of the body? Yeah, I guess I don't either. I'm not a doctor.
I'm not a doctor.
So it's like, I guess I could be very wrong,
listen,
but
I only
my
just
assumption.
Now started liking men, okay?
It's not even. I'm
just kidding.
Fucking. So I get. I think I'm assuming. I could be wrong, but I think that testosterone is created naturally in the male body in their scrotum. But I don't know.
So my testosterone, I actually take the injections. You can use like a gel or a patch. I use the injections.
Yeah.
So I put a needle into my thigh every other week.
Every other week.
It's different for everybody. I use it every other week, and I think I'm gonna continue doing it for the rest of my life. You can stop, and there's a certain point where there's no going back. So like if I stop now, my voice would still stay like this. My clit would stay the same size. All my hair would stay the same. Because I've hit like the two year mark,
mm-hmm.
but maybe if it was like only 6 months, it would just like decrease and whatnot. So I'm trying to keep it going. I plan on doing it so I can maintain where I'm at and continue with that facial hair and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like I don't even have bad acne. The only time I have bad acne is when I have to wear my mask all day, which
mm-hmm.
I totally understand. Cause it's like, it's COVID time.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's COVID right now. There's a pandemic going on. Like I understand I'm going to wear my mask all day. That's really my only acne issue.
Do you have to shave much?
No, I don't. Because I was talking about earlier, my whole family's late bloomers.
That's right. That's
my
right.
little brother barely has a mustache, and he's 17.
Okay.
My father, though, he's, you know, almost 50 years old. He looks like a lumberjack now. My grandfather, he has tons of hair.
Do you want
beard.
Lots of body hair? Do you want, like, a beard and scrub
Dude,
and stuff like
I just
that?
Want a mustache.
A mustache?
Ever
I know.
Since I was a little
mustaches, hardcore.
Ever since I was a little kid, I was like, I want a caterpillar mustache.
Okay.
Like, I just want to look like I just want a caterpillar on my face. I think that would be the funniest shit.
It would be the funniest shit.
And I was like, imagine if it was white, like just white.
You could make it white.
Dude, I know. I'm like, I look so funny. I'm hilarious. I think I'm hilarious, but I know I'm not.
You are hilarious. Are you kidding me? This is probably one of the funnier episodes I've done.
Dude, I'm so loud and I make funny voices. You can't tell if I'm being serious or not. And I'm like, oops, sorry. Oops.
Is there anything else you wanted to go over?
No. I think we are good to go. I think we answered all the questions.
I know. I feel like that was pretty exhaustive, pretty comprehensive.
Absolutely.
Well, if nothing else, we'll come back together, do a part two.
Absolutely.
So, well, thank you again to Andy. Like, I really can't thank you enough for taking the time to come on and talk about this stuff and share it with people. Like, I know that it's not easy, but I appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and if anybody's like listening about it, y'all can hit me up. I have like I don't know if you'd like to do shout outs or anything social media, but
go for
it. Like, I understand if you don't feel comfortable like talking to somebody, but if you want to talk to a stranger, like, hit me up. My Instagram is at frickin' underscore Andrew.
F-R-C-K-E-N.
F-R-I-C-K-E-N. F-R-I-C-K-I-N.
Is it?
Underscore Andrew. Yep. So frickin'
underscore
Andrew.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you can't write fucking underscore Andrew on Instagram. You'll get zucked.
Lame.
Yeah. So hit me up at frickin' underscore Andrew. Ask me questions. That's totally okay. And if you don't want to ask me questions, like, whatever.
Let's just chat.
It's just a vibe, man.
Let's just vibe. Okay, well, awesome. Thank you again, and thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it, and don't forget to like and share and subscribe to Food for Thought. We're on Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere that you get your podcasts. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram.
Hell yeah, dude.
Doing the thing. Also have more merch coming this week. More merch coming this week.
I love your stickers. Your stickers are bomb as fuck.
Yes, I have two more brand new sticker designs, never been printed, coming this week. Ooh. And I am starting to get into making more merchandise too. I want to order samples of things before I make them available for anybody else to buy, make sure that it's good stuff.
But... Oh, yeah. I will buy any of your stickers. I love stickers.
Okay, bet. Well, thank you again, and have a good night, you guys.